Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to our podcast. And it's me today, Sandeep, who is hosting after a long time. And I have my friend Slava. Slava, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for welcoming me. We don't have Zane today. I just realized that I need to go and tweet about our space where people will be listening us. So, can you take a floor for at least 30 seconds without pinning me with a question?
Definitely yes, definitely yes. Please go ahead. Let's see who is going to join us today. But either case, we both are here, and as usual, we are going to have fun. And a lot of our listeners would listen to our recording and also would have fun later on. So if you are listening this podcast, which is recorded, please follow us on Twitter. We will be
Yep.
actually recording every Friday at 5:30 p.m. and then we will be publishing the Twitter spaces at 5:30 p.m. aroundish 5 minutes here and there. Please don't go away exactly at 5:31 if we do not have published the spaces yet. Maybe we are setting up the microphone like you hear today. My microphone was not working and it took 10 minutes, it's still not working. So probably my voice is going to be not so good. But whatever, as Slava said, information is still going to be authentic, if not your voice. So let's get started with that, Slava. Anyone listening, welcome to the show.
By the way, my friend, from what you said, I do remember inside of the Amazon, and for all our listeners, Amazon has an internal wiki where there is a lot of internal information. There is this amazing page that says, "Not everyone lives in PST time zone." Because it's indeed in California, we have tendency to thinking that everyone think about the time from the PST. So yes, 5:30 in PST PM on Friday. Because I know actually several of our listeners who wanted to listen us live, but they are in so different time zone that they just cannot. They're not sleeping right now effectively.
Thank you for making that correction in me and making me more inclusive and not have inherent bias. Thank you, and sorry, listeners. Yes, it's 5:30 p.m. PST. Thanks, Lava. Okay. So, Slava, I have just one topic, but many subtopics. And also, I will be probably wandering, as usual, like always we do, to some of the connected topics, but not so related to the main topic. But the main topics for today is all about Windows 11 announcement that happened yesterday. So, I know most of our conversations have been talking about Android versus iOS, but today it's going to be mostly about Windows. Maybe if you want to bring in your superstar iOS in between, yes, let's talk about that. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to talk a lot more about Windows 11 specifically when it comes to Microsoft announcement that happened yesterday. But yeah, overall, I would like to start off this session with one tweet that I read, which was very interesting. And I also believe I would probably retweet that with full endorsement, like how some people say retweets are not endorsement. For this retweet, I would say this is with endorsement. It said, unpopular opinion in quotes, and said, Windows 11 looks very cool. So, yeah. Time have changed so much where just to appreciate a software, people put unpopular opinion just so that they don't get marginalized on saying Windows is good. It's really good from I'm not a Windows user. I haven't used Windows from probably last 8 years or so. Before that, I used to use in my grad school. But from what I read, the details and the way strategy and then how things are coming up looks very interesting. Before we get started even on that, I think this is big. It's long awaited. Just a small history. I went through Wikipedia and wanted to see like how frequently Microsoft releases Windows. So Windows 10 was in September 2014. Did you realize? I mean, I don't know, but is iOS also like macOS where releases are like that far apart, like 6 years?
No. Each year they have a release. But to be fair, when Microsoft released Windows 10, they said that there will be no, well, they will not be releasing more Windowses. So they wanted to go to OS as a subscription mod. That's why everyone got surprised. What? New Windows? Like, you told us there will be no more Windowses. Like, Windows 10 and that's it. You're just upgrading it. And yeah, that was a surprise.
Oh, that answers another interesting thing here. Windows 11 is free. If you have Windows 10, Windows 11 is free upgrade. So it's not going to be paid. You might be thinking it's normal for a lot of software stack where if you have one version, upgrade is free. But it is not so. Say, for example, Windows 10 is paid even though you had Windows 8. But Windows 10 is free.
If I remember correctly, actually upgrade was free. It's the same model. For Windows 10, they have a free upgrade from Windows 7 or 8. It not only paid if you're buying new Windows, then yes, you have to pay. And looks like they're following exactly the same model. If you either has all Windows or you're buying a new one, you will have to pay. But upgrade more or less the same.
No. So if you had Windows 7, you still need to pay. Is that what you're saying? Say if I am on Windows 7, can I directly come to Windows 11?
There is an interesting hook because Windows 10 for you is free. So you technically can go there. And then if you're using Windows 10, Windows 11 will be free. So you can go there. But you probably cannot go directly to 11.
Yeah, but yeah. So Windows 11 is free. If you are using Windows 10, free upgrade and you get that software for free. Unless, of course, hardware supports that. So
yes, small asterisk.
But yeah, coming back, so it was last in September 2014, that was when Windows 10 was released, and it is very popularly unpopular, that's how I would call Windows 10. I think more than Windows 10, Windows 8 as well, which was in 2012, and Windows 7 was in 2009. So kind of like up to Windows 10, 3 to 4 years gap was like around 3 years was the kind of consistent release cycle. And after that, like you said, it was probably announced that way. And now strategy changed, knowledge in the last 5 years have changed, the approach changed. And today, after 6 years, this is announced. So very long time later, big announcement, a lot of interesting, cool things happening. Let's get to that. Little bit sidetracked on this. I also read on Wikipedia, which caught my attention. I thought probably you will also have fun listening to that. Windows OS source code was in Perforce before. And in 2017, which is not too far ago, is when they moved all the source code, majority, not all, of course, it's a metaphor, to GitHub from Perforce. Can you take a guess how many files could have been there for this OS?
Okay, so let me take a guess.
It's in millions. Probably I would say that.
Okay, you already gave me a hint. By the way, I already was thinking wrong. I was thinking 500,000. So you're saying it's in millions, and I would guess like 15 millions.
Yeah, 350 million files.
3.5.
350.
350 millions.
Yes.
Files. Oh, whoa. Ah, actually, wait a second. Is this including history or this is master? Just like latest commit? Or this is like the whole history?
This includes history, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's around 300 GB, 350 million files. Yeah, it was moved to GitHub. I was thinking the scale of that migration. It's not just copy-paste. <It's not. laughs> So it would have been a very long, interesting, very planned top technical leader leading this work, probably. But yeah, interesting, fun fact. 2017 is when the whole majority of Windows OS source code was moved to GitHub repository. Of course, it's not open source. It's internal GitHub. But yeah, it's around 350 million files or around 300 GB. But yeah, coming back to our Windows 11 announcement.
My friends, I'm really sorry. It feels like you're touching your microphone with something. It creates some side noise. Now it's fine. Sorry about that.
Okay, sorry, listeners. This is my headphones, the microphone, and I lost my really cool microphone. I need to buy one. But yeah, sorry for that. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for staying with us. Okay, so take a guess, my friend. What's going to be Windows Tech? Probably you might have read this news. Maybe I should not ask you to take a guess. I should ask for your opinion. Windows supports Android apps. What do you think about that?
Yeah, to be fair, that's even not the part that I like. I really like with whom they partner to bring Android apps. And I really like the touch of the percent that they're going to take a margin. So that's two things that I really like. Android apps, I think this is not the first time they attempted to do so, but I really like that they finally did it. And this is clearly a response to macOS that now can run iPad apps. It's effectively the same architecture. So that was, at least I was expecting something like that. But I don't want to spoil. Please do announce with whom they partnered.
It's surprising, but personally happy. It's Amazon App Store. So, listeners, if you haven't read this news, this is how it works. You open Windows 11 and then you say, I want this Android app. And it says, okay, now sign in with Amazon and download this app from Amazon App Store. This is how it would work. By the way, if you had already bought with Google Play Store, sorry, this doesn't work that way. You need to buy the same app again on Amazon App Store so that you give money to Jeff Bezos.
Wait. You were saying it by the way, you were so excited. And I was thinking you will say that if you already bought it on the Google App Store, you will have it for free here. And then like, no, you need to pay for it.
That is exactly the reaction I had when I learned about that. So I want to make sure our listeners will be able to feel the same thing that I read. So you had bought that app, let's say Adobe, for your whatever PDF or Photoshop. Now you want to use on your laptop. You are so excited. Finally, I could use this Android app or this game on Windows laptop. Sorry, you have to pay it again because Jeff Bezos need a cut because he's building Blue Origin, you know. He needs to go to space.
Yes,
how Microsoft contributes back because they can't give the cloud. They have AWS. How can I help? I can help through paying the cut via Amazon App Store on Windows 11.
So effectively, this is Microsoft just cannot wait to get Jeff Bezos out of Earth. So they're helping him any way they can.
Full disclaimer, we need to say we do not have any affiliate or anything against or for any person or corporation. It's all for fun. Please take this in fun mode. But all the things that we say are mostly facts.
Mostly facts. I like it. Mostly true and mostly facts. Yes. I like two things about this. One, that how much they pushed toward the message that we will support creatives. And when this message was way before they announced that Windows, and they when announced, they do this emphasis that we will have 0% markup. So everything goes to the developer. And immediately it clicked to me, this is why they were doing this preparation of everyone. Oh, we will release something that will be oriented on developers. I was thinking, okay, what you can interestingly do? And in my opinion, this is an amazing example why competitors and competition on the market is always a win for the end customer. This is a really amazing example. We now have a marketplace that has a zero markup. This is just because we have a competitors on this space. So I think it's in the end of the day, we as the customers winning from this fact, from this happening.
Yep, that is definitely true. And it was 30% before this. They call it, I think, Unified Windows App. I don't know the full form, I might be wrong, but I do remember the code word. UWP is what they call Windows apps, specifically designed for Windows OS. So before, it was also called Windows App Store. Mm-hmm. No, they also renamed it to Microsoft App Store. So in the pre-Windows 11 era with Windows App Store, it was similar to Apple with 30% cut. And now with rebranding it as Microsoft App Store, Microsoft is the brand, Windows is not the brand anymore. It's great to see that because it kind of like, again, a little bit of sidetrack, but it links to that strategy of Nadella where everyone was writing like, Windows was what Microsoft started with, but Windows cannot be the only thing, and they are moving away from Windows as a brand for Microsoft, like cloud, office suite of products, Xbox. So they want to be known as Microsoft for developers and creators than a operating system manufacturer. So this is also kind of like a thin hint. One, yeah, they rebranded, but if you actually connect back and see, it's all like fine touches of that strategic leadership thinking. It's Microsoft App Store. Nobody will remember as Windows App Store. And when, if there is a new hardware, say something like Chrome OS or anything, like anything that comes up, it's mm-hmm. Microsoft's App Store. So everything falls in place going forward. No more Windows anywhere, which also helps probably getting into phone segment or some other things. Let's see. But yeah, on the technical side, the moment it said Android apps would work on Windows, like most of us, probably, maybe I should not generalize, what I thought was there would be some emulator. Because mm-hmm. that is how I learned how Android iOS apps would work together, and like most of these cross-platform applications would work, like kind of like an emulator or some form of emulator. I was wrong.
Let me guess. Can I guess? I don't know the answer, but may I guess? Try to guess.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So I remember when Android was just in development, as a developer, you would start emulator. And you would effectively emulate, start emulator, do your things there. And it was so slow because it's effectively a virtual machine. So they slowly moved to simulator that actually was translating everything to x86, which was start running much faster. And then they have a native Android to x86. So native Android to x86 has a problem that obviously if you have a native binaries inside, they will not work. But simulator was very fast. So I would guess they either using x86 Android binaries or they're using simulator that just translate on the fly instructions, but they're not using the virtualization at all.
Yep, you're very spot on. So basically, there is a two-step process which tries to convert the machine instruction, or in simpler terms, binary, from Android, which is ARM-based, for benefit of our listener. So ARM-based into x86, which is predominant in the Windows world. First thing, Android, Android, Linux, all of these things are mostly built for ARM because a lot of mobile chips and all of these hardware devices are ARM instruction set. So the problem that Windows is trying to solve, or what we are trying to discuss, is basically Windows is predominantly x86 architecture based ecosystem. How is Android going to work on x86? So that is the premise of all the things that me and Slava are discussing here. So what Slava said is like the on-the-fly converter from ARM instructions into x86 instruction. It's like someone sitting there who knows both the languages and then like converts, and then he tells Intel's x86 CPUs what to do. So that's exactly the simulator thing. So it turns out to be two-step here approach. And Microsoft has deeply partnered with Intel on this. So first step, they try to convert the binaries into x86 instruction. Mm-hmm. Or even better, if your Windows is running on ARM, which actually Windows 11 supports ARM, so it just works, nothing special. Mm-hmm. If it is x86 based, first it tries to convert the binary, like the simulator one. If it doesn't happen, it will actually, it converts the binary, so it becomes kind of like native app. If that doesn't work, exactly like you said, Intel has developed something called as, I think, Intel Bridge, if I remember correctly. Intel Bridge technology is what they called. Basically, the simulator, what you said, is branded as Intel Bridge technology. And it converts ARM into x86, and it is deeply integrated in Windows. And so basically, it directly sits on hypervisor, and Windows OS gives access to hardware to that Intel Bridge, the simulator in between.
I wonder, is this opening the bridge to effectively move later on for the Holo OS to ARM? Because this is the way how macOS migrated to ARM. They introduced Rosetta 2, and these guys looks like introducing the bridge for Android app, but nothing prevents them later on to say, okay, now everything works on ARM. We're using the same thing for the, in opposite direction.
Interesting thought. Actually, I never thought when I was reading this properly with what happened to Mac M1 chip announcement and the performance boost it gave and all the benefits and how ARM is developing faster than x86 and then apps coming up more native to ARM, even on desktop. Very, very exciting. Like, let's see how Windows gets into ARM, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. That was notification on my side. Apologize.
Yeah. And this is also same way how...
And now I completely lost your voice. So something was happening with the microphone, a lot of noise, and now microphone completely stopped. Yeah, I cannot hear you. So, dear listeners, we have a temporary technical difficulty. But yeah, there was a lot of static noise there. Maybe you disconnected it by mistake or something less from somewhere. Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah.
Because I turned on my laptop voice, so sorry. My voice would be more bad compared to even the previous step. It's like deteriorating step by step. Probably when this goes off, it will be end of our show. Yeah, so I was telling that this is also the same way how Linux was supported when they said Windows on Linux, it's exactly side by side. Direct access to hypervisor and Windows OS would give direct access. It's not kind of like a virtualization layer on top of the core OS or the host OS. Interesting, but yeah, thanks for that thought. Looks like, yeah, I don't see any reason not to believe that Microsoft will also be probably native ARM through this path. Once they help the app ecosystem to develop, and once they help, it's like solving the chicken and egg problem. Developer ecosystem, app ecosystem, users are all accustomed to ARM. Now make the OS also ARM, and then it's like smooth and gradual movement into a new ecosystem than like Big Bang, where you might lose a lot of people.
Yep. And to be fair, the desktops on top of Windows looks like the last place with Intel CPUs. It doesn't feel like even servers no longer Intel. Yes, the Intel still dominant CPUs there. But if you're starting the new project, you're looking at ARM. macOS, obviously ARMs. Then Windows is the last desktop where you still, if you're buying new, you probably would be buying Intel today and normal x86. But I don't believe it will last long.
Yeah. And there is also one interesting take where this software setup also works on ARM CPUs. So Intel Direct Technology also works on ARM CPUs. So it's kind of like Intel taking a very known step in the strategy to do this. It's not like in the haste of just getting up to speed on something. It's probably something strategic and interesting. Let's see how it all unfolds. So that's about Windows Store now. Sorry, Microsoft Store.
Microsoft Store, yes.
Powered by Amazon App Store and under the hood powered by Intel, together making you being able to use Android apps, which also includes your games, apps, everything together work in your Windows ecosystem with Windows 11. And as Slava said, no more developer cuts for Microsoft. So it's going to be a start of something incredible, where it creates competition, where it creates uniqueness in who takes less money from developers. Which is good for developers and consumers, because if developers don't have to pay 30% to the platform, what would they do? Yeah, first few months, they will take all the profit. Next few months, there is a competition. So they transfer that profit back to you consumers, because profit and then pricing is all directly related. If you are saving 30%, you need to give back at least 15% to your consumer. If not, your competitor will do that and you will lose on the cost. So it's overall going to help the creator and the consumer, not in between platform. Let's see how it all unfolds. But it's an interesting direction. As Slava says, competition is better for whole ecosystem.
By the way, on that note, I cannot mention how amazing was the response from Apple for Fortnite that start over all these mass movements started from the Fortnite blaming Apple that you're taking 30% cut from the poor developers that need to feed their families. And in the end of the day, Apple changed the policy saying that we will reduce the cut to 15% or even smaller. So it's not exactly like Microsoft Store, but they reduce the percentage, but only if the size of your business is less than X million. So effectively, they reduce it, but the Fortnite still pays 30% cut because they're actually multi-billion business. Even though they were trying to make it look like, oh, we are poor developers and you're cutting 30%. No, Fortnite is much, much bigger. But nevertheless, let's reduce the cut. And now with this announcement, maybe Apple will reduce even more. I don't know. Why not? Like, it's absolutely possible.
Yep. It's all at the scale. Like, if you get 15% from multi-billion companies, much bigger than 30% from many thousands developer. But you get the goodwill. You get the kickstarting of the ecosystem is how I would call this. So you don't kill the developer or creator ecosystem at the beginning with your pricing. You only take profit when they grow big and you support them to grow big, because they growing big, the creators going big is actually helping you as a platform. If you kill Fortnite when it was like, say, 1 million business, then you would not have $1 billion customer as Fortnite. So support them till they become big, and then they will not be able to leave you. So it's eventually good for platform, creator, and also consumer. Interesting. The next thing that caught my attention, you brought up desktop thing, right? So there were a few minor changes here and there, like say multi-monitor is something that I caught attention where if you have multi-monitor setup, if you just plug it off your extended monitors, you already have a painful thing like all the windows get jumbled up and a lot of issues on that. Small things around that kind of experiences with work from home, especially a lot of people will be having monitor extension. It's night gesture. So now with Windows 11, if you actually remove or disconnect the external monitors, it automatically minimizes all the windows from that monitor. It doesn't jumble up your current opened windows of the apps on your laptop. So it all remains same, and all other things which was extended on different monitors gets minimized. And I don't use Windows, so apologies how religiously liking you are, listeners. I know Slava also doesn't use it.
Nope.
So the start button, which was on the left corner, or maybe on the top corner, I might be missing, but on the corner, is now at the center.
Oh, wait. I know how to describe the new UI. It's like macOS.
Windows friends listening, please don't kill us for comparing.
But it's actually pretty much exactly like macOS.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Windows people listening, please don't kill us. It was obvious enough to say that statement. And then also, you will get more food for your statements where translucent widgets and UI, all of this, being able to grab multiple open window bars and all of it. Like, yeah, moving towards, I don't want to say it, but yeah, you already made that statement. So just follow you like macOS. Another interesting thing
just before we jump to that, if you don't mind, I want to add something.
Yes, please, go ahead.
This remind me, there was, I don't know if you remember back in the day when we were really small, actually I don't know about your age, but when I was in school, there was this guy, I'm a Mac, that was ad for the main Mac. He would be saying, oh, I'm a Mac, and there would be another guy, I'm a PC, and this guy would be kind of cool, and the PC would be slow, older. And the Intel hired the exactly same guy. that's trying to show how cool little Intel laptops are. The exactly same guy. It was a canonical ad for Windows and for Intel. And it's just so cool, and to be honest, a little bit pathetic. Because they showing these things that if you actually using things no one cares about. But nevertheless, I think it's called Justin Gets Real, and the Intel even has a page around this. Justin Gets Real, I think. But Google it, Justin Gets Real and Intel, and you will get definitely get to the page. It's just something that, because we're discussing macOS versus Windows, nice touch that I recall. Sorry, back to you. Microphone back to you, my friend.
That's nice. What I like is you didn't disclose my age. Thank you. Okay, going back. The next topic I had, also a little bit of, probably here I would hear more than talk more. Touchscreen and stylus. A lot of software improvement, ecosystem improvement is made in Windows 11. In short, without going into very details, it supports touchscreen and it supports a stylus. Where do you think we are going? Do you like touchscreen laptops, like say Surface Pro, or using stylus on digital devices? What's your usage? What's your take? If you have to pay $1,000 for a touchscreen device, did you pay for it?
Oh, okay. Let me... one moment, listeners. I will show something to Sandeep and he might reflect. Let me show to you something.
Stylus.
it's an Apple Pencil. Yes. I'm using iPad. I'm using it with Apple Pencil. I found it way more convenient to when you need to write something quickly, as soon as possible. Normal pen is irreplaceable, and I actually bought the Apple Pencil exactly for that reason. When I need to write something quickly, no keyboard can be even close with a pencil. It's still far from normal feeling of the stylus per se, so it's not exactly that, but it's quite close. So I do like, I actually have many use cases where I cannot use anything that is not pencil. And by not pencil, I'm not speaking Apple Pencil. If it's just normal, old, good old pencil with a piece of paper, that will do. But iPad or any touchscreen can replace real paper for me only if there is something like Apple Pencil or the stylus that has a low latency, which that's the main question. I don't think Windows even close just yet. To low latency things, because to be honest, even Apple have not made it completely seamless. You need to pay on the Apple Pencil 2 and the highest grade iPad Pro, and even then, in many cases, it will not feel exactly as a pencil. You will feel that lag behind, which, to be honest, annoying. But yes, there are use cases for me where it's irreplaceable. What about you, my friend? And Sandeep shows to me, what's his devices? tell me.
Yeah, so I use a digital notebook called Supernote, Remarkable. There are a couple of companies, only handful, two or three. This is like a digital pad, like in simple terms, I could say that it's a Kindle where you could write.
Amazing.
Screen, feel, everything is same. And also this doesn't wear out, the stylus or the digital pen doesn't wear out, unlike the stylus that you use, because I know that it's a ceramic, yep. And then it wears out and you need to change. This doesn't, it has more than 2-3 years of warranty also. But yeah, so that's on the cost and usability. But yeah, the nib or the pointer of the pencil is very sharp, like a pen, fountain pen, and you feel almost more than 90% similar to writing on a pen. Maybe you could be even seeing my handwriting, like it's like a Kindle, right? You saw, it's hard to see. I was showing it to Slavama listeners. If you are listening, what is he showing? What is he talking? It's podcast. But yeah, we are on a video call, so I was showing it to him. But yeah, it's called Supernote. It's a Kindle where you can also write, as simple description as like that. And I use it a lot nowadays. Even as simple as a to-do list for tomorrow, it's like writing on a digital notebook, and I keep one paper open there, even when I'm working, so that I take the running list of to-dos. It's almost like writing on paper and book. After it came, my office room is less cluttered with sheets of paper. And there is only one diary just in case I need, but I'm not using it. It's been 3 months journey now, and it's helping a lot. So I think writing on iPad, yes, I agree with you. Like, it's a glass screen, right? So it doesn't feel natural. But like I said, think about writing on Kindle screen. It's like rough paper-like experience. And it's a, what do they call? What ink? Digital ink. So it feels like writing on paper.
I quickly Google it, and I want to add that looks like it's using Wacom digitizer, and this is a state of the art. This is like none of the even the high end iPad wouldn't be even close to what Wacom is producing. All the designers, all the people who drawing, they buying Wacom exactly for latency. So I really would like to test it out. Tell me, my friend, if you're writing it, is it synchronized in any way with your laptop? So can you then upload everything that you wrote somewhere, or it only stays there?
Yeah, it has its own cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm not marginalizing anyone. It's just my personal opinion before I make this statement. But the servers of Supernote is in China, so I don't use their cloud. However, good news. It has an app to connect to Dropbox, and I trust Dropbox more. So basically, yes, to answer your question, it has a cloud plugin. Dropbox is the solution that I use. Everything that you write will be synced to cloud. And there are three mechanisms: PDF, Word document, and then its own paper type, mm-hmm. digital type. If it is on digital type, of course, you cannot open it anywhere except this device. But they have a mobile app also, where you could open it but not edit it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read it like paper anywhere, technically mobile and that device, I have to say. But if you are editing the PDFs and other things, it saves it as PDF, so it syncs with cloud. So technically it means you can edit, write, make notes on books and papers, and it is synchronized across everywhere. It also supports you to create new Word files and write. If you do that, again, that is all synchronized. It is character recognition automatically converts into text.
I see. That's pretty cool. That is very close to ideal device for me. Very close. The only missing piece, I would like to cross this boundary between my to-do tool and this device. So imagine where you can, in OmniFocus, say, okay, I need to do blah, and the link on the document, and for the sake of the document, you're opening such device and start writing there. And then when you're opening your laptop and you now need to consume the document through the OmniFocus, you double-click on the link, and suddenly it just opens that particular page that you edited on device. So that's probably my dream that I would love eventually to have. That is very close to everything that I need, with the exception of that particular piece. It's very critical for me to be able to keep working on both sides, laptop and a pad, per se.
Yep, exactly. So that is one problem I do have, because many of my to-dos will also have like links to next step. Say, mm-hmm. for example, I want to hear a podcast or read a blog, which is going to be many of the miscellaneous tasks that I will have for weekends. I can read this blog, but it is not even comparable to a to-do app or something where I could actually put that link, like read this and then a link. So those things is not there, but I'm hopeful it would get there, because it's just a couple of years in development, and this is just version 2. And what I liked is they have App Store, at least in concept, because Dropbox is app in the App Store. Kindle, there is app. So basically, you can synchronize your Kindle and you can read Kindle books on this. That's what I do.
Yep.
So there is two apps, which is very promising, Kindle and Dropbox. And I think to-do list will come, because people like us who uses to-do also uses digital pads and might help us eventually, because for now, maybe it started off with artists. Maybe they are not using links and other things probably as much as, say, engineers like us would do, our productivity focused people. So eventually it would add to do app on its own, or a developer would do that. So I think it's going to happen. And when it happens, like you said, it's going to be a dream device.
Yep. That's just amazing. Man, this is just super cool. And they have it looks like in slightly bigger mode, size in different even sizes. Okay. Since you are the host, please do consider adding the show notes links to the website where people like me can go and say shut up and take my money.
Yeah. So basically, I think if Supernode folks if you are listening, we are doing a free marketing to you. So maybe you need to give us an affiliate link.
Surely, yeah, we can ask them. Yep.
But yeah. So. Yeah, this all started off with the digital ink or touchscreen, or being able to write with stylus. I think at least for art, it has gone a long way. A lot of people uses it in like day-to-day setup. For other writings, and my dream is like these devices should be just available for even school students. They need to write. Writing is super helpful. Like they say, you put your mind when you type, you put your heart when you write. I like it a lot, and I think from my experience, I believe it. When you write, you are really involved. You cannot just bluff. You can actually bluff while typing. And even better, if you just sit and then procrastinate. So that's another extreme. But yeah, my dream is probably it's not even dream, I think it's going to happen. Even school students everywhere, you are going to get this one digital pad. I used to carry like 12 books on my backpack, which is so heavy, one for each class. And then here it's like 12 files in the same device. And now think, when teacher is doing something, it streams to your device, like say PPT, as simple as that. And you can actually mark up and make notes on the same slide as teacher is actually presenting the lecture. And then you just save it as your notes. So you don't have to like kind of copy the diagrams from the blackboard and things like that. So much of advanced way of teaching with just one notebook could happen when it comes to mainstream education. Maybe we should think about it as a startup and do it.
So, to be fair, education already have iPads. So that specific use case already solved. What is not solved is actually to have a feel of real writing,
Yeah,
but that
exactly.
That is a niche for us, a niche for geeks that really like it. It's actually for the growing generation. This field of writing might be skill that they will never be taught. It's us who still remembers the feel, and for us, even Apple Pencil that I have, it's not as natural as what you showed to me, because it even has a form of the shape of the screen, even changes when you're pushing it, so it looks like it's much closer to the feel of the natural writing. But for the next generation, they have iPad in school right now, they will be writing there. So they're fine. They have all that you just mentioned, streaming, PPT, all these things is there. They have their styluses. I pretty much in 5 generations from now, people will not be even taught how to write correctly, only type. Yes.
Yeah, let's see. But yeah, I was thinking writing is never going to go away, because I believe writing is good. Writing makes you think. Let's see, maybe glass screens might go away, there might be other form factors in the iPad, but yeah, whatever you say, we are not too old, but maybe considered old school for school goers. It's interesting where you don't have any other entertainment apps or internet or anything. You have just PDF reader, which is Kindle, you have just digital pages, and then you read, you write. And then you read and you write. That's it. This device is for all that. But yeah, I think future of touchscreen, future of stylus, all of these things is going to become more mainstream. It's already mainstream in some of the domains like art, but it would be in other stream. That's what even I consider. And that's what you even explained just with the use case. Let's see how it goes. Coming back to Windows 11, yeah, that's another major thing where overall setup or development of the project Windows 11 is going more and more closer towards stylus and touchscreen based devices. Let's see how it goes on. By the way, I think is macOS, recent macOS release also going in this direction? Any announcements were made on this direction, or it's just part?
No, they're not. But to be honest, in macOS, it's less of the problem because now they have same architecture on iPad and Mac. So you technically, so they already unified on the APIs level. Several reincarnations before, you already have a very similar API to writing iOS and macOS, and they even announced that you can use the same APIs to implement different apps. So now it's very close to the world where you know no longer thinking which OS you're using, you're more thinking, am I UI adopted for touchscreen? If UI is adopted, you compile it for iPadOS as well as macOS. If it's not adopted, because API already inherited is the same. It's like you, for developer, that just saying, okay, do I need to enable touchscreen support on my level? And what this will mean, that compilation will include version that works on iPad. Under the hood, it's same binary because it's both ARM these days. API is already standardized. It's literally a checkbox. Okay, I want this to be available through the iPad, and that's about it. There are small different APIs that, yes, are slightly different in iOS, iPadOS, watchOS, macOS, but they are small, and you cannot get rid of them because they are very specific to that particular hardware or particular niche of the hardware. But if you're writing next weather app or next news app, it's literally already there. You as a developer just need to make a judgment call if your UX support touchscreen, and that's it. That's why I actually don't think that macOS will support touchscreen ever. It's more like iPadOS will be on the macOS devices, and there will be touch checkbox enabled for touchscreen or not. But they're already there. That's my point. They're already in this future, just different way to get there.
Okay, perfect then. So we are also close to 1 hour now. Yep. Lot of different topics considered. There was one topic that I couldn't get into details. Also on the gaming, Microsoft Windows 11 has made a huge improvement where, just to give a gist, there is an Xbox app now on Windows 11, and you can directly stream from, I don't remember the service name, but Microsoft has this gaming server, like a service where actually the game renders on the backend servers on Azure Cloud, and you play it on your client side, which is basically your laptop or Windows desktop. And now Xbox app on Windows 11 also supports that with automatic conversion to HDR, which makes a lot of existing games, which is not HDR, to be rendered really, really well. So, and lastly, another thing that caught my attention was that it is kind of like technology under the hood, which fascinates me when I'm reading such kind of news, is like they also have this improvement on direct to GPU load, which was not the case before, which makes rendering much faster. So there is no host to device lag. So it's directly to, it's kind of like direct GPU access, which is a small feature improvement. But I read that gamers are loving that feature because you have a Windows laptop or a desktop with a GPU, and then now it supports direct load to GPU, which significantly increases the frames per second. So overall, big announcement on gaming. So question for you, Slava. So are you going to be a Windows 11 user for this feature?
So two things to specify here. They promised that they will be doing the server side on Azure based on Xbox Series X, and I'm the owner of Xbox Series X hardware. So, you know, I don't need this intermediary which called internet in between me and my Xbox, so I can just go and play it there.
Sorry, Microsoft. I tried to get you one customer here, but looks like he already owns the hardware, so he doesn't need a service to use the hardware.
One thing that actually I really liked is how they're going to sell this online subscription. So, yes, Windows, but what impressed me quite a while, if you're the owner of the previous Xbox, they actually going to enable streaming on the previous Xbox for you. So you already have a hardware, so you have joysticks available to you with the previous Xbox. So now there will be an app when you're installing Xbox Series X and can keep playing through the internet and kind of keep using your older hardware, which kind of nice idea, like this, if you think about this. But it's unrelated to Windows, so yep.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, those were major roundups and our views, our discussions. Of course, always we wander around the topic, starting from Windows Surface Pro to Supernote Digital Pad. So here is how we talk. Here is what this show is all about. Our views, our engineering terms, our own theory or modeling of this world for now and for future. Thanks a lot, listeners. I hope you all had fun. We hugely respect companies like Microsoft, Apple, everyone who's building this. So we have a deep respect as engineers for all the things these people do. It's incredibly hard. In between, we might have made fun, but it is just to make sure like we keep the conversation fun and we enjoy while we are going into the details. Nowhere we intend to make a pun of any of these technology companies on any ways on the technical side of things, maybe on the business tactics, maybe yes. we intend to hurt someone with our words, but on technical side we know how hard it is to ship something to this level. 350 million files, 300 GB plus, it's not small, it's not a small feat, it's a huge toil from many people in millions of hands of folks. But yeah, back to our Friday evening PST, Slava, I was inclusive here. It's 6:30 p.m. for us on Friday evening PST. So it was fun. It was great. As usual, fun conversation with you, Slava. Have a great evening. Have a great day, afternoon, evening, night, listeners. See you, Slava. See you, listeners.
Thank you, Sandeep. See you. Bye-bye.